We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Sharon Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching. We believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you that you have loved our whole heart right through. We're forever grateful. Grateful that your grace holds us now. And Lord, this morning I pray that we would understand that we are the church. We are a force to be reckoned with because you are building it. You are building the very essence of who we are. So Lord, we pray that we don't leave here the same, but we encounter your Holy Spirit. May you speak to each and every one of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You can give someone a high five and take your seats. Thank you to our Create team. Well done. Well done, guys, each and every one of you. We have an incredible Create team. Why don't we give it up for our Create team? They are simply the best. Gifted people who are just bring their gift to the house of God. And you know what? Imagine if God said there'd be no music. Imagine if he said, well, I can talk down there, but no music. I mean, I'm grateful for music. I'm grateful for people who can sing. I'm grateful for people who can play instruments. I'm grateful for people who can lead us into the presence of God. Very, very grateful. So Josh did mention there was a girl that I was talking about from our Greenville campus. And last year, someone paid for her to come to Devoted. And actually, she didn't really want to come. She's like, oh, I don't know. And she came because she'd been sponsored and someone had paid for her. And all the way up, she was like, you know what? I really don't want to go. I mean, you know, a bunch of women. What are we going to do? You know? And she came into Devoted and her life was radically changed. She stood amongst a company of women, sisters, and she sensed God in a way she's never sensed him before. And so she went back home, and this year, she's like, you know what? It was so amazing. I'm paying for myself, which means that to me, it's like, I'm owning this. This is mine now. But she's also paying it forward and paying for someone else to come. And I just want to encourage you, if you're sitting on the fence, don't. Please come. I'm not begging you to come for the sake of having people here. I'm imploring you to come because I know that God has, you know, he's gone before us already. This isn't a nice idea. This is God's idea. Come and be in an environment where God comes, okay? And, you know, all the men who are so gracious to release your girls, thank you. And you, many of you volunteer. I'm very, very grateful. And it's not, you know, I was saying in our prayer meeting a couple of weeks ago, it's not just for women, our conference. Women come and attend. But the overflow of what happens, I believe, impacts families, communities, and beyond in Jesus' name. Amen? Is that okay? All right, so this morning I'm teaching on a message. It's kind of a funny title, and it's called It So Happened, Choosing to See the Backstory. And I was just thinking about, you know, movies that I've seen or books that I've read, and I love a great backstory. I mean, a backstory really kind of makes the story, don't you think? Whether it's a comedy or a drama or a romance, you know, or you're always like, oh my gosh, is the hero going to win? Are the good people going to win? Is the good guy going to get the bad guy? Is the girl going to end up, you know, it's like, oh, sometimes you're like on the edge of your seat, kind of waiting, what is going to happen? But I've come to discover as I have read the Word of God over a lot of years that God writes the best backstories. I mean, he just does. And the reason is because he's always at work in our life. And sometimes we forget or think that he's absent, but actually, he never is. So let's pick it up. I'm going to read a story that I've taught out of many times, but we're just going to look at it maybe from a different angle today. And it's found in Luke chapter 1, and we'll pick it up in verse 5. And the Bible says, during the rule of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest assigned service in the regiment of Abijah. His name was Zechariah. His wife was descended from the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. Together, they lived, listen to this, together they lived honorably before God, careful in keeping to the ways of the commandments and enjoying a clear conscience. But they were childless because Elizabeth could never conceive, and now They were quite old. So here you have gorgeous couple in the priesthood or in the ministry, faithful, doing everything that God has asked them to do to the nth degree. Like when I read that, I go, wow, there's a couple who love God with everything in their heart and who are diligent in their faith journey, right? And so you might think, like sometimes I kind of think, well, 1 + 1 = 2. You know what I'm saying? In the faith, well, if you do everything right, then my life should look like this, right? Yeah. And here they find themselves beautifully just loving God and doing what they're called to do, but no baby. And then I love this. Bible then says, it so happened. It so happened that as Zechariah was carrying out his priestly duties before God, working the shift assigned to his regiment, it came his, listen, his one turn in life, not his one turn a month, not his one term a turn a year, not his one turn in 5 years, his one turn in life. One turn in life to perform his priestly duty, to go in and burn incense. And he entered the sanctuary of God and burned incense. The congregation was gathered and praying outside the temple at the hour of the incense offering. Unannounced, no trumpets, no hear ye, an angel of the Lord is coming. Nope, no announcement. He's in there doing what he knows to do. And boom, an angel's right there. Whew. Just to the right of the altar of incense, Zechariah was paralyzed in fear. Yeah, I think I would be too, wouldn't you? Yeah. Like, what is going on? What I love is all the while God was writing a backstory in their lives. They just didn't know it. Yeah. I wonder how many times Elizabeth had cried herself to sleep at night because there was no baby. And Zechariah was thinking, I don't know what to do. But what they did know to do was be faithful in the daily. Regardless of what their circumstance or situation looked like, they knew that they were called to serve God. They knew that they were called to follow hard after God. And I love it because the scripture is so great at pointing that out. They lived honorably before God. They were careful in keeping in the ways. They were enjoying a clear conscience. To me, God is saying, listen, this is an exemplary couple, but it didn't all go great for them.
Right, yeah. Come on up.
I just love the fact that God writes the best stories through our lives. And I've come to realize that when we look, really look, you'll always see him at work. See, choosing to see the backstory, firstly, changes the way we view disappointment. Because I feel like sometimes we equate, well, maybe oftentimes, we equate everything going well with God loving us. And everything going not so great with God turning his back on us. Scripture, again, I said, talked about them being an exemplary couple. But very often, maybe all of us have prayed at one time or another, God, where are you? Yeah. Do you even know I'm here? Have you even heard what's going on in my life? Do you see it? Very often we hear crickets. God, where? I think about a beautiful family who were very, very close to Jesus. Two sisters and a brother. Mary, Martha, Lazarus. They were his best buds. He'd come over for dinner. He'd go on a ministry trip. He'd come back and he'd just hang out with them. They were dear friends. And Lazarus gets sick, not just a little bit sick, but deathly sick. He's on death's door. And they send word, Jesus, your best bud, Lazarus, one of your great friends, he's sick. The Bible says that Jesus, on hearing that, stays put for 2 days. Boy, that's enough to get offended, right? Right? If you had a friend that you called up and said, can you come and help? Yeah, I'll be there in 2 days. Be like, okay, you're off the friend list right now. Jesus waited 2 days. Why? Because there was a backstory happening. Truth was, Lazarus would die. And Jesus would perform an amazing miracle. And I just want us to open our eyes and see that in our lives on the daily, when we are faithful to him, he's busy writing, weaving a beautiful gold thread through our lives that leads to him. Like Zechariah and Liz, the big things were happening in the daily. And I want to emphasize that. It's the daily decision to stay faithful, to stay committed, to honor God, to serve him every day when their life looked very different from what they had anticipated. Anyone can say, wow, I didn't know my life would look like this. Anyone? Yeah, I think all of us could say, wow, I thought it might look a little bit different. But they remain faithful. How many times I've heard people walk out of church and go, you know what, I tried that, it didn't work. It's not we try church, we are the church. We are living our life on a daily basis, following hard after God. It's in the daily, the faithfulness, the commitment, that we're going to see the big. And the big in your life is always attached to a bigger purpose. It's not just about you. It's not just about me. So, I don't know about you guys, but have any of you ever lost your kids? Been out shopping, been wherever, and you turn around and your kid's not there. Anyone? Any parent prepared to say? I was telling our 9 a.m. service that I have lost all my children, each of them I lost at one time. And I think that's fair. If you love them equally, you lose them equally, right? That's how it works. I mean, I don't want to say to one of them, well, I lost him, but you were good. You know, it's just like, that didn't work. So, you know what? I didn't plan it. It is the worst thing in the world. If you've ever lost a child, it's the worst thing in the world. I was thinking, as I was thinking through, you know, the backstories that God writes in our lives. Sometimes it takes us yielding to the process, and that's hard, isn't it? Because don't we want to dive in? It's like, give me the steering wheel, you know? Like, give me, I want to take charge. I want to make this happen. But anyway, so I was thinking about, you know, Steve has been doing this series on kindness, and he was teaching out of Romans 2, 4, verse 4. It says, God is kind, but he's not soft. In kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand and leads us to radical life change. And I love that because the picture is when you've got a screaming two-year-old who wants to run in the opposite direction to you, and you're like, you're coming with me, you know? It's like, no. And in my mind, I see that. I see God takes us because he knows where we're going, and where he's leading us is way better than where we're trying to run off to. And so thinking about that and thinking about losing my kids, and just recently, Alyssa, our daughter, took our grandson to Target. It was just her and him, and it was right before Christmas. And, you know, probably as a young mom, everything is, you know, when you're running into a store, you're running into a store and you're running out. But you've got a three-year-old with you that's tagging along. So you're like, quick, let's go in. And, you know, you'd want them to sit in the cart, but they never want to sit in the cart. So you're like, okay. So she's up in the Christmas section, which of course is the back corner of the store. And she turned around and Jax was gone. Boom, gone. And you know, as she was telling me that, I'm glad I knew, you know how there's good things that you find out after the fact when you're a grandparent, it's like, whew, glad I wasn't there for that. Because you just get heart palpitations hearing, right? It's like, oh, all the anxiety just hits because you remember the time when you lost your child. And I don't think there's not many things that top that. When you turn around, you're like, where? Because, yeah. But anyway, so she's telling me that she then turns into a crazy person, like we all do. You turn into, I was telling our 9 a.m. service, it doesn't matter whether you're an introvert or an extrovert or any kind of vert, you're going to be crazy and you're going to be loud and you're going to start screaming. And when people try to talk to you, what were they wearing? Ah, I don't like that's my kid. I mean, literally, it's like that. You know, I remember because Josh literally walked out the front door of our house. He was 2 and a half and went a block, and I had no idea. And I remember my neighbor saying to me, what was he wearing? And I can remember it like it was yesterday, and I'm like, lost my kid. Like, there was just nothing that would come out because you've just lost this child. But anyway, so I can so understand where Alyssa's at. She's screaming through Target like a crazy person. And a lady says, are you looking for a little boy? Like, yeah, okay. So he is at the front of the store with something that he picked off the shelf, ready to scan his item because he understands He understands as a three-year-old, these kids are so smart. Like what? I don't know. He's ready to scan his items so he can leave the store with his newfound toy or whatever he found, you know. And so we were about to go on a family trip and to a place that, you know, was very unfamiliar and where there'd be a lot of people, and we were going to do a lot of walking, and they were coming with us. And so I decided, after I've heard that and had anxiety because I'm thinking about losing kids, that I'd get on Amazon and I purchase, don't be a hater, don't judge, don't hate, and don't judge. Look at that. Look at that. I mean, they make them with like stretchy. Back in when I had kids, it wasn't. You know what's funny is I told my kids when they were teenagers that when they were little, I put them in these. And all of them said, Mom, that's child abuse. That is just child abuse. Until now, they start having kids that run away. And it's funny how it all just changes. It doesn't seem like child abuse anymore. It's like, get me that thing, you know. So anyway, we take Jax and we put this on. So we have a stroller for him as well because we know we're going to walk a lot. But we're like, buddy, yes, if you want to walk, great. You walk this and this can be attached to Skipper's hand. And oh, we're just going to have so much fun. And in my mind, I'm envisioning that, you know, he might struggle with it for a little bit. For the most part, he's free and he can run and, you know, it's stretchy. An interesting thing happened. Because as we were walking around, normally he's, get me out of the stroller, I want to walk. But it's funny, when the restraint was put on, he's like, can I just get back in the stroller? And you know, I just started thinking, God is kind, but he's not soft. In kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into radical life change. It's a funny thing because we don't want to go. But when we wear the restraint, when we hang on and go, okay, we're coming, we just get to sit in the stroller. Okay, God, you got the steering wheel. You got this. What does that look like? You know, years and years ago, I applied for a job, and I've told this story before, but I was working for the court system in Sydney, and I applied for a job at a law firm. More money, better hours. Of course, it had to be God, right? And it was a funny thing because as soon as I got the job and putting my resignation, I lost my peace. Lost it. I mean, I couldn't sleep at night. I went to work. I couldn't work. I was fighting this. Fighting it. God, this is so disappointing. I want this job. I want this. This is what I want for my life. I know what's best, right? And man, I wrestled up with it for a couple of days. I remember saying to Steve, drive me past that. We got to figure out why, what's going on here. I mean, finally, I just went, all right, God, I yield to you. I'm coming with you. Can I tell you, as soon as I just went, I can't take the job, went back into my boss's office and said, you know what, you know my resignation, can I just not resign? Have you ever tried to not resign after you've resigned? It's kind of awkward. But you know what, literally, he pulled the letter out from under his desk and tore it up. And guess what? Peace. Peace. I'm telling you, there's no amount of money that new job could have paid me that could have satisfied me the way peace came into my heart. Second thing about choosing to see the backstory is it gets our eyes off ourselves. Gets our eyes off ourselves and gets them on God and looking where he is at work. C.S. Lewis said this, look for yourself and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ and you will find him, and with him everything else thrown in. See, when we look for the backstory, we stop licking our wounds because we trust that God is for us. We start speaking the word of God over our lives. God, you're for me. If you're for me, nothing can be against me. Your word says that your love, there's nothing. It's deep. It's wide. It's all encompassing. I trust, God, that you know me and you love me. We can deal with offense quick. We understand, God, you're not trying to make this difficult. You're not bringing all the very difficult people into my world to make life hard. You're taking me on a journey to build my character. I hate it. Yes, I hate it. I hate it a lot. But God, thank you that your love never gives up on me and that you're working in and through my life. I can refuse to use comparison as my measuring stick. I love that we can become outward focused, that other people's stories challenge us to be better. You know, just a week or so ago, two beautiful ladies came to see me. They'd been to Devoted last year. They're actually from the Ability Center in Virginia Beach, and they work with special needs adults, their organization does. And one of them is the mom of I think he's 35 or 37, so it's cerebral palsy, and she was telling me about what a gift he has been to their family and how they prayed that he would live when he was 1.5 pounds. Isn't that crazy? And so, you know, I was sitting there just listening, and they were so pumped. The lady that runs this organization, she is so passionate. It's like, sign me up. I want to help. You know what I mean? You meet those people, and you're like, she loves what she does. But anyway, she was asking, you know, last year at Devoted, some of our team, and Bridget was the soloist, did one of the songs from The Greatest Showman. And it's, I can't remember the name of the song, but it's like, This Is Me. What's the name of the song? This Is Me. That's the name of the song. Go figure. Go figure, the line that you sing a lot is the name of the song. That's how it works, right? And they wanted to see, they've got a function coming up, and to see if Bridget would do it. You know what's so wonderful about that is that, first of all, we could help, and I love that we are in our community and able to come alongside some other organizations, and Bridget graciously said, love to do it. But Bridget, last summer, she was in the classroom with special needs kids, and she was telling me, I just have a heart for the special needs community. And I love that when God writes the stories, he's kind of weaving this gold thread, and he's connecting people and church with organizations and people to make this world better and to make a difference. And you see, I don't look at it as a coincidence at all. In fact, the fact that you and I are here today, I just see the hand of God on our lives. And I just love that. Third thing is, choosing to see the backstory causes every day to become an adventure. God, what are you doing today? What are you writing today? Colossians 1:27 says, this living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for his people. And listen, God wants everyone to know it. Isn't that crazy? It's a mystery, the mystery of Christ. Isn't it true? You encounter Christ and wow, it's just incredible. And there's a mystery to it. You don't know everything about what he's doing and the ways he works and, you know, the backstory. He's behind the scenes maneuvering. And I liken it to when a woman is pregnant and carrying a baby. And you know, when she goes to that first ultrasound appointment at 8 weeks, you go to that first ultrasound appointment and the new, especially, I mean, of course, every child is special, but when you're a new parent, you've never experienced it before, and you go in and they put the little sonogram thing and it goes on your tummy and you see a heartbeat. Yeah. See the miracle of life. Then you go back at 20 weeks and then you see this baby, and then they say, do you want to know whether the baby's a boy or a girl? You have an opportunity to find out the gender. And, you know, biology tells me, you know, there's a cell from a mom and a cell from a dad, and they combine, and then it doubles, and then it doubles again, and it doubles again. So you can tell me what is happening. But the actual what is going on in every cell, how those little bones are formed, what happens in secret in that womb? It's a mystery. Yes. It's a mystery. And that's how God operates too. Sometimes, just in secret, we're like, God, where are you? And then out of the blue, an angel comes to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Says, guess what? There's a boy coming. It's a baby boy. Oh, he's going to be so unique. In fact, so unique, he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit while you carry him. He's going to make the way for the Messiah to come. Well, what? Oh, he's going to fill your lives with joy, unspeakable joy. And you know, in a way, Zach and Liz, I'm sorry that it took this a little time, but it had to be this time. Because any earlier wouldn't have worked. Because my heart is for humanity. And that's what God is doing in and through your lives. You think it's about me, 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 and God's saying, no, it's about them, them, them. And so the big that you sense God wants to do in your life, yes, but it's about a bigger picture. We are all called to be part of the big. It's called the church. And our part, our significant part, makes the bigger even brighter. When we get it. You know, when I think about my life, at the age of 15, I encountered Christ. But let me tell you something. I wasn't born up in a Christian home, beautiful parents, but we didn't go to church. And I was slated to go to a certain high school, and then right at the last minute, right at the beginning of the school year, the high school I was supposed to go to wasn't ready. So the zones had to change, and before we knew it, we were going to a different high school than we thought. But it was at that different high school, the one I wasn't supposed to be at, I met a girl who brought me to church. See, it so happened that a zone would change, a school wouldn't be open. I mean, I don't think I'm all that, but what I'm trying to say to you is there's a backstory to your life. Where you got is where God has been at work. And maybe you're sitting here today and going, no, I just decided to be here. Yeah, maybe you didn't. Maybe you think you did. But maybe God all along was maneuvering and working in and through your life. Lastly, number four, choosing to see the backstory challenges me to see people the way God sees them. Remember, Zach and Liz had to wait for their baby because God's eye was on humanity. Why? He wants all to come to know him. Listen to Colossians 1:28. It's such a great reminder for us. Christ is our message. So tomorrow when you go to work, or this afternoon even when you go home, Christ is your message. Everything that comes out of our lives has to be filtered with Christ is our message. Boy, wouldn't that change a lot of things if we... I need to hear that too. Boy, big. We preach to awaken hearts and bring every person into the full understanding of truth. See, as believers, my life isn't my own. When I surrendered it to God, he said, great, awesome. I'm going to take you on a journey. It's about you, but it's not about you. It's about others that all may know. Christ is our message. This week as you go to work, Christ is your message. You might work with, you know, years ago I worked for an insurance company. My boss at the time, this woman, I was sure she was the devil himself in a woman's body. I mean, I'm sure if I looked, hair was all foofy. I'm sure there were horns under there. If I'd looked, there'd have been a couple horns. Maybe you work with someone like that. I remember I tried to resign from that. That was a different job. I tried to get out of there. God was grabbing me this way, and I was fighting every step. Until I went, okay, I give up. I'll be nice to her. I mean, I was nice. I'd smile, but underneath it, I'm like, grr. But when Christ is your message, you get to see people through his eyes, that all would come to know him. Jesus, you died for them, even if they feel like the devil himself. You died for them. You know what I'm saying? This week in your workplace, in your neighborhood, as you interact with people. You know, it's a funny thing. We live in a culture where we get on the, and I've done this too. People start getting stuck into you about something and you get on the defensive and are ready to. But the message of the gospel is far from that. Christ is our message. I'm going to hand back to Joe at Seaboard. I'm going to talk to you here at Great Neck and to our online audience. Do you know Jesus? Do you know what it is to know him personally? What I've talked about this day, what I've talked about today, this journey of the backstory. There's a backstory to your life. You found yourself here, not a coincidence or an accident. But God has been drawing you close to himself. He loves you, friend. He sent his son to die for you so that you could live a life on purpose. As I stand here today, I'm blown away at the goodness of God. He wants to do that for you too. Give you a life you're just like, whoa. Maybe you grew up in church your entire life. You've known, oh yeah, I go to church. But do you know Jesus? Have you really yielded that 100%? Okay, he's trying to pull my arm. Okay, God, you have my life. I'll give it to you entirely. Or maybe you once knew him, but you've just gone down some rabbit holes and you just know, you know what? I'm not where I should be. Or maybe this is the first time you've ever heard, wow, I can know Jesus personally. Oh, yeah. He wants to be the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He wants to be with you in the high times and the low times. He's not going to leave you. He's going to be there every moment. Friend, I want to pray for you today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, not going to embarrass anyone, not going to make you stand up. I just want you in a moment to lift your hand. And if you say, Sharon, yeah, could you pray for me? I want to know Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life this morning. We just want to pray with you. Our church will pray with you. Just lift your hand up all over this auditorium. If you just say, Sharon, yep, could you pray for me? Thank you. I see you. I see you. I see you up there. I see you up there. Anyone else this morning, say, Sharon, please, could you pray for me? I see you. Anyone else? I see you here. Anyone else this morning? Sharon, please, I want to know Jesus. I see you up there. I see you right here. Anyone else this morning? Could you pray for me? I want to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I see you up there. Fantastic. And I see you over here. Fantastic. Wonderful. All right, church, you know what to do. We are going to pray a prayer. Everyone that lifted their hands, just repeat this after me. And church, let's pray with them together. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for me. And right now, I ask you, come into my heart. Change me from the inside out. Thank you for forgiving my sin. And thank you that today, I walk out of here a Christian. Christ in me, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen, church. Could we congratulate those people?
We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Sharon Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Sharon at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.